So Genesis chapter 4, if you find your place, stand with me as we read the scripture together. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was the keeper of sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of the flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. It came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from the face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. The Lord said unto him, Therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And then verse 16, And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Let's pray. Lord, bless us now. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to teach your word tonight. I pray that you'd speak to us, Lord, as we learn some Bible knowledge and then, Lord, some wisdom, Lord, as we learn some application. And God, speak to us, God. We need you, Lord. We didn't come here tonight, Lord, just to be here. We came to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Well, what in the world led to this first murder? I mean, here we had the first family on the earth, if you will, and not very far into their existence. Here we see something so unbelievable as murder in this first family. Well, when Adam and Eve sinned, we know what they did to try to cover their sin. Okay, they tried to sow fig leaves together. But you know what? That was not sufficient for God. And that wasn't sufficient because there was no blood that was shed to cover the sin. So we know the story. I'm not going to go back and reteach it. But God had to sacrifice animals that he created to cover them. And, of course, is a picture of the blood sacrifice. And the reason here in our story that God rejected Cain's offering, it wasn't because it was particularly Cain. No, it wasn't because of anything he was. It was because of the fact of his attitude and his lack of sincerity toward the offering that he brought. You know what? He tried to do what Adam and Eve did. He tried to bring a sacrifice to God that was not of the blood. And because it was not a blood sacrifice, God rejected his sacrifice. You see, folks, there's a very important principle to the Bible, and we're going to talk about this tonight. And this is one of our one of the main doctrines that we believe, is the fact that we cannot come to God without the shedding of blood. Amen? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 tells us, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission." And it's very important that we understand the importance of the blood sacrifice. And we're going to kind of talk about that tonight and pull out different aspects of that from this story. Well, first of all, let's look at these two brothers here, all right? Let's look at Cain and let's look at Abel. First of all, Cain, he was the firstborn. And it says here in verse 1, that Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. The word Cain, it means to acquire or to get. The Bible tells us that Cain was a tiller of the ground. He was a farmer. And then we see after Cain, Abel says here, verse 2, and she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. The name Abel, it means fleeting breath or vapor. And Abel was a shepherd, a keeper of the sheep. Now, both of these are notable professions, okay? Being a farmer, there's nothing obviously wrong with that. That's a notable profession, as was being a shepherd. That also was a notable thing to be involved with. So that is their occupation. farmer and shepherd. Well, it came, the Bible says, that in the process of time, so these young men grew up, okay? They didn't stay young, obviously. They grew. And in the process of time, it was time for them to have to form their own relationship with God. And by the way, young people, there's coming a day where, you know what, the things that your parents taught you, you're going to have to decide whether or not you're going to make them your own or they're just what your mom and dad taught you, okay? You've got to make them your own for yourself. And that just as Cain and Abel had to come to that point, that decision, where they had to decide about their relationship with God, you also are going to have to decide about your relationship with God. And hopefully, what we're praying for, what we're working for, is that you'll take the things you've been taught from your parents, from your Sunday school teachers, from your church, you'll take those things and you'll make them your own, and you will further go further in your life and begin your own personal relationship with God. Amen? That's why it's important, folks, that we teach our children properly. But there comes a time and a place in their life where they're going to have to make it their own. And so we see here that that time came. So what happened here? Well, there in verse 3, the Bible says that Cain brought the fruit of the ground. And you see, that's a problem. That was a problem with God. Why is it? Because there's no doubt that Adam and Eve had taught these young men about the importance of a blood sacrifice. There's no doubt there was a time as these young boys were growing up, they saw mom and dad offering that blood sacrifice, and they were wondering what it was about. I wonder how many times they sat around a fire at the evening and they retold the story of Eden, and maybe they saw the far off look in their parents' eyes as they relived those years or however long it was as they spent in the paradise of Eden. And so Adam and Eve no doubt taught these young men the importance of the right sacrifice. But yet Cain did not believe that the shedding of blood was important. Again, Hebrews 9:22, the Bible tells us the importance of the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Let me give you a couple more verses on that. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." And the context of this verse is when Israel was getting ready to exit Egypt, and the last plague God brought upon the land was the death of the firstborn. And the only way to escape the death angel from visiting the house was for them to take the blood, the Bible says, and to strike it over the doorpost so that when the death angel saw the blood, he would pass. Alright? That's where we get the hymn we sing. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And whoever applied the blood, the death angel passed. Whoever didn't apply the blood, the firstborn of their house died. Alright? And so the blood, again, is very, very important. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers," man, listen to this verse, "but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Listen, folks, it took something special to redeem sinful mankind. Amen? Something special. God says you weren't redeemed with things that corrupt like silver and gold. Oh no! You were redeemed with something way more precious. What were we redeemed by? The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why the blood's a big deal to God. Alright? Because it was precious. The precious blood. So Cain did not believe that the shedding of blood was important, because if he had, he would have brought the right sacrifice. Cain thought he could do it his own way. And you know what people today think they can do? They think they can come to terms with God on their own level. Let me just say this, folks. You don't make deals with God. Okay? It's either God's way or no way. All right? And over, as I'm out talking to people and I'm interacting with people, talking to them about the Lord, you know, they always want to tell me what they believe. Well, you know my famous statement I say over and over, it doesn't matter what we believe, it only matters what the truth is. Amen? The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, "There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." All right? Mankind can think their ways right all they want. By the way, did you hear what that verse said? "There's a way that seemeth right unto man." All right? I mean, it may look like the right path. It may look like the right way. It may even make the most human sense. But let me just say, if it's not what the Bible says, if it's not what God has ordained, it's the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible says in Jude, this about Cain. Listen to this. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. The way Cain went was such a bad thing in God's eyes that God classified it all in its own category. And we're going to see some other verses about that in a minute in 1 John chapter 3, I'll show you. And so Cain thought he could come to God his own way without going through the blood sacrifice. And I'm just telling you, you know what? It doesn't work that way. The Lord, the Bible says, did not have respect unto Cain and his offering there in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5. That word respect there, it means did not accept. Okay? And too many people are think they're going to go to heaven based upon their own labor, their own work, their own way. And guess what? God's not going to accept it. Amen? Every time I drive past a kingdom hall of Jehovah false witnesses, my heart breaks. You know why? Because I see people who think they're so sincere, who think they're so right. I mean, they think they're right just as much as we think we're right. Okay? They're very sincere in their belief, but the problem is they're not coming to God His way. They're coming their way. And the problem is, folks, it doesn't matter how sincere you are in your belief. If you don't come God's way, again, you're not going. In fact, the Bible says, and this is the verse I was alluding to in 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. Listen to this verse about Cain. The Bible says, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Did you hear what God said? God said, first of all, that he was of the wicked one. Well, who's the wicked one he's talking about? Alright, he's talking about old Smutty Face himself. He's talking about Satan. Alright, he was of Satan. And then the Bible says that his works were evil. Evil, what do you mean? All he was doing was bringing a sacrifice. By the way, think about this. Cain was religious. Right? He brought a sacrifice. It was just the wrong one. And God says that attitude is evil. And by the way, that attitude is from the wicked one. And let me tell you, folks, I've said it over and over. True Satanism is not what we think it is. It's not the black robes. It's not the biting heads off chickens, sitting in pentagrams, sacrificing goats. That's not true Satanism. Now, that is a form of occultism, okay? And no doubt people are involved in that stuff, and no doubt that stuff's anti-God. But let me tell you what true Satanism is. It's false religion. And let me tell you what's going to populate hell more than anything. It's not the Satanist crowd that worships Satan and put the black robes on. It's the crowd that they attend church every morning and they listen to a charlatan stand behind a pulpit telling them they can get to God any other way except the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And over thousands and probably millions all across the country, all across the world are deceived by those types of folks. So God says Cain was of that wicked one and that his works were evil and that, yes, he was religious, but he was lost. Okay, so that was Cain. Let's talk about his brother Abel for a minute. The Bible tells us there in verse 4 of Genesis chapter 4 that Abel brought the firstlings of his flock. Okay, so here Abel understood what God was going to accept. Abel believed that the shedding of blood would atone for his sin. Okay, and because of that, he brought what was acceptable to God. Again, Cain and Abel both knew the right way. Think about this. They both had the head knowledge, but only one had the faith. Right? And you know who that was? Abel. Alright? Both of them knew. Alright? But only one of them had enough faith to do what they were supposed to do. And that, of course, was Abel. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By the way, the Hall of Faith, if you go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it lists all the Old Testament characters and what we call the Hall of Faith and what they did to be accepted by God. The Bible says here, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness, listen to this, that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. What made Abel righteous? You know what made him righteous? The fact that he brought the blood sacrifice. The blood made him righteous. Okay? And so Abel believed that the shedding of blood would atone. And he had faith. Both had the head knowledge, but only one had the faith. And Cain and Abel, no doubt, were taught these things by their parents concerning the blood sacrifice. So, what was the difference here? Well, the Bible says that God did not have respect unto Cain's sacrifice, but here's what he says in verse 4. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Why is that? Because he brought the right one. And his blood sacrifice pointed to the blood sacrifice of Jesus. And because of that, the Bible says that he was righteous. Even Jesus testified of this in the book of Matthew. Jesus said this, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Jesus was using an illustration here to teach the Pharisees a lesson. And Jesus alluded to the fact, or he says here clearly, that the blood of righteous Abel, that it was shed. So Abel, of course, was righteous. Not only that, Abel didn't even know he was going to be this, but Abel was a prophet. All right? Listen to the verse here again, back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. It says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. Listen to this. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. So here was a man who was a martyr, if you will, okay? He was killed because of the envy of his brother who killed him because he didn't like the sacrifice he brought. And yet still today, even though he's dead, he's still speaking. He's still testifying of the fact that the blood sacrifice is the only way to God. Amen? Now here's what I think's interesting about Cain, all right? We're going to kind of shift now back between Cain and Abel here. But I want you to see this very interesting about Cain. Because even though Cain disobeyed God and did not bring the right offering, look at God's attitude toward Cain. Man, I mean, it speaks of God's mercy. Look there in verse 6. Notice what God did. God gave Cain an opportunity to repent. He says, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? So you know what God is doing? God brought Cain's sin to his attention. He said, Cain, why are you angry? Let's talk about this. Okay, God was willing to deal with Cain about his sin. And then look at verse 7. God warned him of his condition. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. So listen, to this point, there's still hope for Cain. God says, look, all right, your countenance has fallen. You have sinned. You're angry. All right, there's a way for you to get this thing right. But instead of getting right, you know what he did? He took his anger at God out on his brother. And how many times do you see people do that in life? I mean, people are mad and angry at God. They're bitter about God, about this or about that. But instead of just being mad at God, they take their anger out on others. And by the way, let me just say this, folks. That's what's so dangerous about the sin of bitterness. Bitterness will eat you up from the inside out. It's the only, I shouldn't say the only, but it's a sin that it never hurts the person you're bitter at. It only destroys the container that it's in. I mean, you can be bitter at a person for whatever reason. And by the way, it might even be a legitimate reason to be, want to be bitter about something. And you can be bitter at them all you want and you'll never affect them one bit. But you'll be killing yourself from the inside. So we see here that Cain's bitterness toward God, he took it out on his brother. All right, think about it here. He opposed Abel because of sin in his own life. Abel wasn't the one sinning. It was Cain. But yet because his brother became or because he was mad at God, his brother became the object of his jealousy and his pride. And so think about this for a minute here. We see all the different sins that his bringing the wrong sacrifice led to. Oh, I mean, there's a whole list of them here. I mean, in verse 3, self-will, where he began basically humanism, worshipped himself. It says here that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. What was that about? That was something that he had did with his hands. That he had farmed and brought. And it's a picture again of what he did on his own. Self-will. Then we see in verse 3 through 5, his pride. I mean, when God rejected it, instead of saying, "You're right, God, I did wrong, I'm going to get that right." No, his pride rose up, and he became, which led to the next step, which led to jealousy. He slew his brother because his own works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. He was jealous of his brother because his brother was doing right. Now, how many times have I seen that in my life? I mean, here's a person who is not doing right. Maybe God's blessing is off of them because they are not obeying the Lord's commands. And so they look at the people that are doing right, and just as Cain turned on Abel, they'll turn on a Christian that's doing right. I mean, I can't tell you how many times in my life as I've been dealing with people, and I was, you know, trying my best to make the right decision about something. And when it came time to correct the problem, instead of dealing with the person with the problem, the anger got turned on me. And I mean, I was the enemy because how dare I point out this problem? I mean, folks, that's exactly what this type of stuff leads to. It's a digression. So self-will, pride, jealousy, and then it turns to anger. Look in verses 5 and 6 there. Again, it says, God said to him, "Why art thou wroth?" I mean, back in verse 5, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. I mean, he became angry about this situation, and because he became angry, it intensified, and it led to then killing his brother. And we just talked about in Sunday school, Sunday morning, I taught the young people, and we're talking about the Ten Commandments, and we taught about the commandment of thou shalt not kill. By the way, that doesn't mean not to take life for any reason. Okay? Listen, God's not against you defending yourself and protecting yourself. That's okay. All right? That word kill there in the Ten Commandments is talking about murder. That's what it's talking about. All right? And war, of course, the taking of life is justified and those types of things. But here, the step, though, that I taught the young people, what leads to murder? Anger leads to murder. Okay? And that's why the Bible says not to give place to anger in your life. Okay? It says not to let the sun go down on your wrath. I mean, I get it, folks. There's certain things in life based upon, you know, how you're wired that may make you more angry than it would somebody else. I mean, I'm a pretty even-tempered person. I don't get angry about every little thing that happens to me. All right, there's a few things in life that make me instant angry, but for the most part, I'm pretty even-keeled. But some people aren't like that. I mean, they're ready to punch somebody at the drop of a hat. I've known people like that. Okay? And listen, you cannot allow anger to control you. Amen? Because if anger is left unchecked, it leads to something worse, and in this case, it led to murder. Okay? And then we see here, that led to lying to God. Look at verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" Listen to this. And he said, "I know not." I wonder where he learned that from. Remember somebody else that lied to God, right? Remember back his parents? "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Then he's copping an attitude with God. I mean, could you imagine? It's one thing to lie to God, and then when God requires what's going on, how should I know? Am I my brother's keeper? Copping an attitude with God Almighty. And again, listen, folks, it all started when Cain decided to do it his way instead of God's way. Now, what I think is interesting is that God gave Cain several times to repent. Look back again at verse 6. He asked him several questions here. Okay? By the way, God isn't coming at Cain just hammering him. Look at the way God deals with him. "Why art thou wroth?" Okay? There's the first question. All right? Next question. "Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Where is thy brother Abel? What hast thou done?" You know, God has given Cain, every question is an opportunity for him to admit what he did and get right with God. Okay? But he does not do that. Okay? And so because of that, then there's a punishment that comes to Cain. You know, one thing I think is interesting here, and I don't think I mentioned it before, but look back up to verse 7. Man, this is interesting. When God talks to Cain and asks him the question, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted?" Look at this next statement. "And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." If you look at that word sin up there, you know what that word sin means? It means sin offering. And literally what God was saying is this. He says, look, if you'll just do right, you'll be accepted. Just come through the blood. By the way, sin's lying at your door. Think about that for a minute. You know what that meant? The sin offering was right there. By the way, where do you think the sin offering came from? Who is the one that was the keeper of the sheep? You know who was? Abel was. And I wonder if Abel overheard this conversation going on with God, with his brother. And you know what? He realized as soon as Cain brought the fruit of the ground, he knew something was going on. And he heard what was going on in this conversation. And I wonder if Abel slipped back to where his flock was at. He loved his brother enough to put the sin offering right there at his own brother's door. He didn't have to try to get it on his own. It was right there. All he had to do was take the sin offering and offer it. Yet because of his pride, because of his anger, instead of being thankful he had a brother who loved him enough, that cared for him enough to make sure the offering was there, he turned and slew his own brother. I wonder if Cain, when he walked out that tent door and he saw that lamb laying there, he knew where it came from. And instantly, that's when he went and slew Abel. I don't know. But all we know is he eventually killed his brother. Now, because of his sin, all right, there was punishment upon Cain. By the way, you know what? God also still punishes sin. Okay? Here's what a lot of people think. They think because God is long-suffering and merciful and allows them what's known as a space of grace. Okay? By the way, every time you sin, God doesn't strike you down the second you do something. Okay? He's very long-suffering. He's very merciful. And God will give people a space of grace. In fact, the Bible says it like this, that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. God would rather woo people back to Him by being good to them than by just immediately hammering them for their sin. Okay? And so, Cain had a space of grace. But because he rejected the fact of getting right with God, then the punishment was very severe. And you know what? Here's what people think. They think just because God gives them that space of grace and they can sin and seemingly get by with it, they think that God will never call them into account for their sin. Let me tell you something. There couldn't be anything further from the truth than that. I'm telling you, God will deal with and God will judge sin. And so we see here the punishment of Cain. Verse 12, the first thing that happened was the fact that the ground would not yield to him. When thou tillest the ground, by the way, think about that for a minute. What was his profession? What was it? How did he make his living? The ground. Okay, and God says, fine. You wanted to do it your way? Guess what? It really isn't your way because I'm the one that controls the ground anyway. That's what he says here. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. So you know what that meant? He had to find another profession. Okay, the thing that was his God, that he was going to worship instead of God, God took it away from him. Let me tell you something. You better not put anything in the place of God. You start putting stuff in the place of God, God will take it from you. Okay? You know how many times I've seen parents use their children as an excuse not to serve God or not to come to church or not to be what God wants them to be? Let me tell you, that's dangerous. You're setting up your kids as idols. Okay, I'm not saying you particularly. I'm talking about other people have. I've seen this over and over. And they set their kids up as their false gods, if you will, because they put their kids in front of God. I'm telling you, they lose their kids. Now, their kids may not die, although I've seen that happen. But you know what? They end up losing the kids, and the kids end up being total heathens. So I'm just saying it's dangerous. Don't put anything in front of God. And so here Cain decided he was going to put the fruit of the ground, his occupation in front of God. God says, I'm taking it from you. Then look at the next thing that happens here. The Bible says he becomes a fugitive. It says here in verse 12, henceforth thou tillest the ground, shall not yield unto thee her strength, a fugitive, and then also a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. That meant this, he was always going to be on the move. That meant he was never going to be settled. He was never going to be able to be where he should have been or where God wanted him to be. And then we see here that God, even in the midst of his judgment, showed mercy on Cain by setting a mark upon him for his protection against those who might kill him for what he did. Okay? Again, Cain, my punishment's greater than I can bear. And God says, okay, fine, I'll show you some mercy. I'll leave a mark upon you so people won't kill you for what you did. Now, exactly what that was, I have no idea. All right, I remember when I was a kid, my dad told me this story. And he's like, it was probably like one of those moles that you have on your head. And so in my mind, I was thinking like this big birthmark on the side of his head or something. I don't know what it was, all right? But it was something that God wouldn't kill, or that people wouldn't kill Cain because of what he did. But you know the sad part? When we fast forward about 2,000 years into the future, you know all of Cain's descendants died in the flood? Every single one of them. And here he was. The civilization that came from Cain were the ones that were responsible when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and Seth's descendants intermingled with Cain's descendants. They all perished in the flood. And what a sad state of affairs here. All because one man wanted to do it his way. And I'm telling you, folks, listen to me. The most dangerous thing we can do is be stubborn against God, be proudful against God, and try to do it our way instead of doing it God's way. Okay? There's consequences for that. Let me just give you real quick three practical applications from this story of Cain and Abel. All right? Application number one. All must come to God through the blood. All right? All must come to God through the blood. There's only two kinds of religions. There's do, which that's what Cain, the fruit of the ground, represents. Or there's done, and that's what the blood sacrifice represents. That's it. Only two type of belief systems, do or done. And you either believe that Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross, and by faith you come and, or by faith you trust in His shed blood, and that's good enough to get you to heaven, or you have to add to that with something else. Maybe it's a baptism. Maybe it's church membership. Maybe it's this good work or that good work. Listen to me. It's not Jesus plus anything. Amen? It's Jesus and nothing else that gets you to heaven. So, practical application, make sure you come through the blood. Amen? Number two, when God deals with you about sin, repent! When God deals with you about it, get it right. Repent from that sin. That word repent means a changing of the mind. And I'm telling you, by the way, that's a Bible word, repentance. And you know, when it comes to sin, we need to have a change of mind about our sin and start thinking about it the way God thinks about it. Amen? And as a Christian, there's going to be times in your life as you're growing in grace and you're trying to grow in your Christian life and be the Christian God wants you to be. Maybe you're going to hear it through the preaching of the Word of God. Maybe you're going to read it in the Bible. Maybe a fellow brother or sister in Christ will come and exhort you a little bit. Hey, when God deals with you with sin, don't cop an attitude with God. Don't get proud against God. Repent. Amen? Repent. And I'm telling you, that's the attitude we ought to have, is that of humility and that of repentance. And number three, here's the last personal application I'm going to leave with you tonight. Live your life in such a way that after you're gone, your life is still speaking something good. Remember what it said about Abel? I read the verse earlier in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. He was already in paradise, okay? But yet his testimony, because of what he left behind, still spoke volumes, even though he wasn't here. Let me just say this, folks. Your life is going to speak something after you're gone. It's either going to speak something good or something bad. Live it in such a way now to where it'll speak something good when you're gone. Remember that our Sunday morning, I gave everyone out a copy of that book, Grace Will Lead Me Home. You know what that is? That's doing what Abel did. That was my friend Ron Allen. He being dead, yet speaketh. The fact that his life, he gave his life to Christ, and he had a burden to try to reach other veterans. And his life, even though he's in heaven today, he's still speaking because of the life he lived and the decisions he made while he was alive. Live your life that way. Amen? Okay? Here's something. Make your funeral an easy one to preach for the preacher. Okay? I'll just say this. I don't lie at funerals. Okay? If I don't know, I just don't say. Some funerals I do, I'm able to stand up and testify of the good testimony a certain Christian had and talk about how they lived for the Lord. Other funerals, I can't even talk about the person. Now, I try to give the folks hope. I try to preach the gospel, but I don't preach people into heaven. Okay? And I'm not going to lie at someone's funeral. I'm thinking of someone particularly right now who's asked me to do their funeral. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't really want to do it because I know this person. And I don't know if their family's going to want me to do it or not. Because this person didn't have a very good testimony. Doesn't to this day have a very good testimony. So what am I going to say at the funeral? I don't know. I hope the rapture happens before I get that call. Amen. But all I'm saying is this. Listen, live your life in such a way to where it's easy to preach your funeral. Why? Because of the testimony you left behind. Amen.